to worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. If we say that we know Him, but we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Morning, friends. Good to be with everybody this morning as we get into our day and as you get into your day. Some of you floating around the sea may have been into your day for quite a while already. And so good morning to, is it Priscilla and Maggie both that are here this morning? Glad to have you here with us and all the way over to the road down the street a little bit. I didn't get to say good morning to Catherine or across the pond to Zara this morning. Good morning to all of you. We might be a little bit tight this morning on our schedule because I need to run out early this morning. I set several back-to-back-to-back things this morning, so we may just be a little bit short. I say that, and then what happens? I keep going because I don't know how to be quiet. And you have to listen to me just kind of blather on a little bit more some days. So anyway, here we are. We're going to talk this morning about, you know, we're discussing what are some of the things that a new believer needs to be assured of, things they need to know. And one of those things, we've talked about several things. I mean, just the idea of worship, prayer, forgiveness, assurance of their salvation. We've covered several different pieces like that. And this morning we want to talk about the reliability of Scripture, that they can trust the Bible. And now for me, I came to faith at a time when the Bible maybe wasn't as questioned. Okay, I've been a Christian now, a believer, a follower of Jesus for how many years now? almost 44 years. And so, you know, nearly 50 years ago, there weren't the questions about the Bible like there are now, at least in America. And I think there are other places in the world, especially Muslim countries, where they would say you can't trust the Bible, you can't rely on the Bible. One of the things we want to get down into the thinking and the lives of people who are followers of Jesus is that the Bible is reliable. It is unique among all books, totally unique among all books. We can have confidence in what it says. We can have confidence in its truthfulness and the veracity of Scripture. So what is the veracity, the truthfulness? It's reliable. They can count on the Bible as something to follow. Some people say, well, the Bible's full of contradictions. No, really. For most of the places where people would say it has a contradiction here or there, it's not full of that. That's the first thing you would push back on somebody and say it is not full of contradictions, because they throw that big word out. You add that little adjective, full of contradictions. Is that an adjective? I'll call it an adjective. You add that word, it's just full of it. Well, no, because somebody finds something that they believe to be contradictory here and there, they want to throw the whole thing out. It's like in the Gospels. They have different perspectives. It's like if four different people are standing in an intersection, and they witness a traffic accident within that intersection, they all four might give a slightly different rendition of just exactly what happened because of a difference of perspective. So they give a slightly different rendition, but they're referencing the same accident that had the same people in it. So the Bible, in those instances, places like that, like the Gospels, it's not contradicting. It's a few different things. Maybe telling the story in a little bit different sequence because that's how the author was thinking about it. Sometimes one author is talking about one instance. For instance, the temple cleansing. See, it contradicts because one place it says it does. Jesus does this early in his ministry. The other says he does it at the end of his ministry. Well, our conclusion is there were two temple cleansings. So there are answers when it comes to that. Now, you know, I want to grab. Hang on, I'm gonna go over and grab real fast my Bible. I talked about last week I'm thinking about what I'm saying here. Us in America, we in the West, we in the one third. In the one third world, I say one third, there's one third, two thirds. Two thirds world doesn't have a lot of what the rest of us have. In the one third world, where we have so much. And so many of us have multiple copies of Bible. Now, I would tell you, in some countries, we say, well, just get it on their phone. Why can't they just get the Bible on their phone? Well, because some countries won't allow them to have a Bible on their phone. It won't even make the technology available. It's like when I was, I'll give you this example, when I was flying to Turkey, I think, is the trip. Wonderful airline, Turkish airline, but as an example, when you watch their map, they don't have Israel on their map. You know, there's a flight map you can follow if you've not flown, especially these longer flights. They give you a flight map. You can see where your airplane is in the air, and it'll show you the countries beneath it and whatnot. It's kind of cool to watch as it travels that way. But they don't have Israel on the map because they won't acknowledge Israel. And so there are some countries like that who have they don't have access to Bible on their phones or computer software, that type of thing. They can't get them because often I hear Christians say, well, they just get an app. But in countries where you do have the opportunity to get an app, there are really, really, really good Bibles Available. We like the U version, Y-O-U version. It's like one word. U version Bible app is one of my favorites because you can get multiple translations of the Bible. Now, here's the issue. And again, in some countries, sometimes it's not in their language. So that is something that to consider. Now, let's get back to the issue here. Let me grab that Bible real fast. I'm going to put a different graphic up for just a moment as I get up from my chair. I got in my hand this old, kind of worn out Bible, which, you know, again, now realizing you have Zara here or other people that don't have Bibles, you know, we should be glad for what we have. They would take this, although it's English, they need it in their language. But this is my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which is the first Bible I bought because it's blue. My little name on it down there. And if you were to go on to the inside of it, you'd find all kinds of notes. I used blue ink, but like here in Colossians Bible, all marked up. I can't see the, you know, and highlighted and whatnot. Some places might say, we're not going to do that because, you know, they don't have access to another one, so they're not going to mess up the one they have by writing in it, but learning to study it and to dig into it. Now, I'm going to go over to my notes on another screen and read you some thoughts here this morning about the reliability of Scripture. So, how do we judge whether something is reliable? You know, is the Bible reliable? And so using the same criteria that we judge any other historical work, we judge the Bible the same way. Who wrote it? When was it written? But what we will find is the Bible is more reliable than other written works in history. It's a question of truthfulness. It's a question of how many copies and how accurate are those copies. You know, writings that are historically and factually correct have been preserved over time would be considered reliable. Higher levels of historical verification and better confidence in transmission make it easier to determine whether an ancient work is worthy of trust. And so by those measures, we consider the Bible reliable. Here are four things four truths that you could tell someone if you're in this conversation, especially if you're helping a young believer to understand that the Bible is reliable. You can count on it. You can trust it absolutely, unequivocally. First, we have thousands of manuscripts. Now, remember, you say, big deal. Well, hey, they didn't have a printing press in that day. Big deal. Well, they had to copy all those copies by hand. That is a significant reality when you understand how we got the Bible. You know, there's a high number of surviving copies of original biblical writings, or those written not many years after, or those written within the first around the time, or those written within the first century, perhaps, after the original copies. There are copies called manuscripts. There are roughly 6,000 surviving manuscripts in the New Testament alone, those handwritten copies. This makes it the best attested document of all ancient writings. The next closest contender is Homer's Iliad, and it only has 600 existing copies from his era. The value of the large number of manuscripts is it provides us with the ample opportunity to compare the writings, which is especially valuable when cross-checking manuscripts from different geographic areas or from different time periods. When making comparisons, you determine whether it is apparent that the documents are reliably copied from the same source. And you can quantify how much they've strayed from that source by seeing how they differ. In short, having an abundance of manuscripts shows us that copying scripture was not like the game of telephone where, you know, you go around a circle and you whisper something in somebody's ear and they whisper in somebody else's ear and they whisper in somebody else's ear and it comes around the circle. And by the time it gets back to the beginning through 20 people, just 20 people, it's all it takes, is the story is all different. You know, the early manuscript evidence has shown the New Testament to be 99.5% accurate. And the vast majority of differences are in spelling or minor copyist errors. Secondly, archaeology supports the biblical record. Archaeology has repeatedly confirmed the accuracy of biblical places, events. Thousands of archaeological finds have corroborated the accounts of the Bible, and such evidence quickly puts an end to the allegations that the history recorded in the Bible is suspect. BeThinking.org has some important examples of some of that such evidence. BeThinking.org. So it's important to remember that no archaeological finds have ever disproven a single biblical event, civilization, or individual. In fact, what often happens is they'll say, we don't believe the Bible talks about such and such a people like the Hittites. Well, guess what? They discovered in Turkey in the last century, they discovered a city that it was called the Hittites, and much of what they had corroborates with the biblical evidence. So archaeology, they are faithfully preserved, that they're nearly identical copy to copy to copy, and then the New Testament itself, written shortly after the events it records. It wasn't written a couple, 200 or 300 years later in somebody's fanciful type of thinking. It was written shortly after it occurred. Now, that's just some evidence that we have, some thinking, some thoughts that we have about the reliability of the Bible. So much. I mean, we could go on. There are books written about this, whole books written. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of external evidence that you can hang your hat on, that when you're talking to somebody about, you know, can you trust the Bible? Absolutely. And they'll say, well, why? It's full of errors. One of the first questions you ask apologetically of somebody that says, well, the Bible's full of errors is, have you read the Bible? Because some will go, well, no, I've actually never read it. I've just heard people say that it's full of errors. You'd say, well, I want to encourage you. You should read it. You need to read it. That's the first thing. Or if they'll say it's full of errors and they'll say, I have read the Bible, say, well, give me some examples. Now, there is a dictionary called the Dictionary. I'm going to mess up the title here. And I gave away the copy I had, the Dictionary of Bible Difficulties. And it's a book that where there are the difficulties, it gives plausible answers for those difficulties that people sometimes want to bring up and say, what about blah, 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 you know, and so you can answer the questions. Now, what about the Bible speaking about itself? What does the Bible have to say about itself? We're going to take a look here at what it has to say about itself. Let me take you over to one of the first passages that we always like to go to is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is a passage that every Christian needs to know. So this is one of those that you say, okay, I've been told that should know this passage. And here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Just what does that mean? Let me put it in another translation. And then it says in verse 17, so the man of God or the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There it is. All scriptures, God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's look at that in the New Living Translation and see how it renders. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us how to do what is right. This idea of correcting is the idea of setting straight, like an orthodontist to set your teeth straight, or an orthopedic surgeon who mends a broken bone. That is what scripture does in our life. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. But it speaks to all scripture is inspired by God. The word here for inspired, I wonder if Walter would still remember what that word is. That word is theopneustos, and theopneustos very simply means breathed out by God. What we believe about the Bible is that God breathed out every word of the Bible for us and has given it to us, working through the personality of every author, of every writer. You say, yeah, but it doesn't all sound the same. No, this is another thing you point to about the Bible as opposed to like the Quran as an example. The Bible was written by over 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. 40 contributing authors. And yet it wasn't like somebody at the beginning said, hey, here's the game plan. Let's make sure this all aligns. And so you had a general editor directing the right. Actually, we did. God was the general editor at the beginning, working through the personality of every single one of the Bible writers. And so throughout from Genesis to Revelation, we see this fantastic theme of redemption all the way from Genesis chapter 3:15 all the way through the end of Revelation. We see the theme of God's redemptive work on the behalf of man. We see the story. We see it all. The Bible is reliable. Different than any other book, better than any other book. The type of history that makes up the Bible. You have two testaments. You have the Old Testament. You have the New Testament. You have all those different authors, and yet God's message throughout the Bible there's great continuity from end to end of the Bible. We can trust the Bible. It is reliable. We've talked about the numbers of manuscripts. We've talked about the numbers of writers over 1,500 years who wrote the Bible. We've talked about archaeology and how it substantiates the Bible. Now, let me take us to one other place. Make sure I'm taking you into the right verse here. Yeah, I got to go. I get my firsts and seconds mixed up sometimes. Okay, this is from 2 Peter chapter 1. Down at verses 20 and 21. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. It wasn't just made up in his head, okay? Or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. We need to believe that, that those who wrote the Bible were people who were inspired, who were moved, who spoke from God. That's what we need to believe about the Bible, the Holy Spirit. You go here to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. You go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It underscores for us the reliability of the Bible. We can count on the Bible, and there's just so much evidence there that we can count on. It's different than any other book. In fact, a few other verses. I said I need to cut out a little early. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that just because I want you to catch this truth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, but especially verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. But scripture, to believe it is powerful." This is a conviction to get into the life of a new believer. The Bible is alive. It's a living book. It's a powerful book. In fact, God is powerful in such a way that God made himself a promise in Isaiah chapter 55. I went, because I'm trying to remember where I was taking you. Isaiah 55, verse 11 tells us this. Again, this is in the New Living Translation. I'll begin at verse 8, Isaiah 55, and we're going to conclude with verse 11. "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay in the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." God promises himself here in verse 11 that it will, the version I learned says, "It will not return to me void." Here, this version telling us it will accomplish all that God wants it to accomplish. Is the Bible reliable? Absolutely. How do we get the Bible? God directed men. And they may not have even known that they were being directed by God to write what they wrote. But, and tomorrow maybe we'll talk a little bit about the canonization of Scripture, how we know that we can, how we got the Bible that we have today. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Friends, I'm going to get you into your day. I have appointments away from the house here in 30 minutes and need to get on the road. So, Lord, thank you for my friends who've listened. I pray that, that they feel all the more confident that they can stand on the Scriptures, that, that the Bible is reliable. It is your truth. It is eternal truth. The word of God will last forever. One of the last verses in 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us the word of the Lord endures forever. So, Lord, give us confidence in your word. Give us confidence in your direction. Give us confidence in your promises. Lord, give us confidence in you that we might live for you and honor and glorify you today. Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. See you tomorrow, friends.